A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be dismissed, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because he said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I do not perform my Father's works, don't believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many there began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're 2 days from Palm Sunday. We're 1 week from Good Friday. And what we encounter in today's readings from Sacred Scripture help us to prepare for a few different aspects so that we might receive more of what God's trying to teach us through those events. I'd like to focus on three of those aspects. The first is how the people of Jeremiah's time, 700 years before Christ, and the people during Christ's own time were looking for everything they could to catch Jeremiah and catch Jesus. Whisperings on every side, terror. All those who are my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. Because they were watching for Jeremiah's missteps, they didn't hear his message. The message that unless they converted, Jerusalem was going to be totally destroyed. And in the gospel, those who are trying to catch Jesus in any misstep, constantly trying to entrap him in order to find some excuse to put him to death, miss the whole point of his mission. And many times it can be something similar with us. We can form a judgment, literally it's called a prejudice against somebody. And we can start already to characterize the person as bad. And then all we're doing is trying to look for confirmation that that person is as bad as I already thought. And what happens? Just like the people of Jeremiah's day missed the big message, just like the people of Jesus' day missed the biggest message ever, so we can often likewise miss the point. Likewise, when people try to focus on our missteps, they'll often miss the type of love that we're trying to give. That's the first point. To look at the big picture, to stay focused on it. Second thing I'd like to focus on is the huge difference between Jeremiah and Jesus. Jeremiah was suffering. They would eventually kill Jeremiah like they did most of the prophets. He felt that terror on every side. He was a hunted man. And yet, he didn't seek the death of his persecutors. He didn't seek to get them before they got him. He entrusted himself to the Lord. He said, "To you I have entrusted my cause. Let me witness the vengeance you take on them." He had heard those words of the Lord before, "Vengeance is mine, not yours, O Israel." And so he entrusted justice to God. If he needed to suffer, he was okay with that. He had entrusted himself to the Lord. He was not going to let vengeance invade his heart like a spiritual cancer. But there was still something imperfect in it. Let me witness your vengeance, O Lord. I'm not going to do anything against him. But I can't wait to see what you do. Just let me see a glimpse. By the time Jesus was suffering something even worse than what Jeremiah did, Jesus wasn't saying, Lord, let me see the vengeance you have. Let me see them smoke forever. No, from the cross he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And that similar progression is meant to happen with us. Yes, we're first always supposed to entrust our things to God, and that's a big, big first step. But then we need to make that second step and entrust them not merely to the Lord's vengeance, not even to the Lord's justice, but to entrust them to the Lord's mercy. If we're really going to enter into these mysteries we're about to begin in the holiest week of the year, we have to recognize it's all about entrusting not just ourselves, but others, including when they've made themselves our enemies, to the same Lord to whom Jesus entrusted them. The third thing I want to point out is what Jesus said in the gospel. If you do not believe me, at least believe the works that I do. If I do not perform the Father's works, don't believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. There are a couple expressions we're going to be hearing over and over again next week. One of them is, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Jesus said very clearly what was going to happen to him. But the entire Old Testament said what was going to happen to Jesus. And his words not only his works, his deeds, not only validated the words that came from his sacred lips, but through the lips of all the prophets, that there was a correspondence between word and action. We need to pay attention to that. You know, the disciples of Emmaus, why were they so disconsolate on Easter Sunday? Even after the women had come back from the tomb saying, he's risen from the dead, he's appeared to Simon. Why were they disconsolate? Jesus told them and told us, because they didn't understand the scriptures. They didn't understand how everything Jesus did corresponded to them. And so he began with Moses and the prophets, and he began to interpret how everything in the scriptures related to what he went through. Words and works correspond. It's meant to be obviously the same way in us, that our words and our deeds are supposed to have this correspondence. That when we say we believe in Christ, our deeds show that we believe in Christ. By our entrusting ourselves to him more than, for example, to money, more than, for example, to control, more than, for example, to pleasure or gratification or anything else. That when we say that we're a Christian, we pray, entrusting ourselves to God. That when we say that we're a Christian, we live a Eucharistic life. That when we say that we're a Christian, we're merciful as our Father is merciful. That total correspondence. We might not always have the words that are going to convince people of the gospel. We might meet someone who academically might be much smarter than we are. Every single time we come out with some truth of the faith, they might hit us back with this long German expression. But at the same time, when our works preach, when our body language preaches, when our heart thumps this message of love, that's something that's much harder for them to dissect. That's why the greatest preacher of the 20th century was a nun born in Albania who became the great Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Nobody testified to the love of God ever better, not even the great Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, not Father Aniro Cantalamessa, not all the greatest preachers who were alive in the 20th century. No one preached the love of God better than this diminutive nun. That's why the greatest preachers are those who are the living commentaries of the Word of God, who in order to understand what the words say, don't need to get better hearing aids. They just need to observe this type of behavior in those who are the saints. As we get forward or move closer to Holy Week, we remember that this week is supposed to make us holy. And that holiness is when our words and our works, are in one-to-one correspondence. Let us ask the Lord, for whom word and deed are one in the Word made flesh, to strengthen us to bring about this interior harmony, so that others may hear him preaching not just through our lips, but through our lives.